You're listening to When Christians Speak Online Talk Radio, broadcasting out of the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. Today's voice crying out in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. When Christians Speak is dedicated to lifting up the name of Christ Jesus and spreading the good news. Christian Speak Talk Radio is a nonprofit ministry. We are dedicated to spreading the gospel of Jesus through our programs and special guests. We exist through the generous support of our listeners. If you are being blessed through this ministry and would like to give a love offering, go to our website and click on our donation page. Your donation will be processed through PayPal. Our prayer is that you may prosper and be in good health even as your soul prospers. Unto the Lord, for he is good.
As a 501c3 nonprofit ministry, all of your gifts are tax deductible. So go out to our website, www.whenchristianspeak.com. God bless you.
Listen to When Christians Speak Online Talk Radio on Blog Talk Radio, iHeartRadio, Spreaker.com. All of our broadcasts are available as podcasts through SoundCloud, YouTube, iTunes, Blueberry.com, Zoom.com, Stitcher.com, Lisbon.com, and BlogTalkRadio.com. To listen to our broadcast by phone, dial 646-478-0660. Again, that number is 646-478-0660. Go visit and like our Facebook page, When Christians Speak Talk Radio. Also be sure to check out Christians Against Suicide and Depression. It's a page dedicated to sharing God's love, encouragement, and hope. There are prayer warriors standing by to receive prayer requests, doing intercession for those under attack by the lie and deception of the devil. We know that the devil came to steal, kill, and destroy, but praise God, Jesus came to set the captives free.
Good afternoon and welcome, family, to another hour of Declaring the Finished Work. This is your host, Pat Randall. On today's broadcast, I will be re-airing a message from the 2017 podcast series, Elevation in Love. When I was first inspired to do these messages, I knew it was something that our God was doing, but I had no idea how it would show up in our day-to-day experiences. Now, as I look at this season that we're in right now, we've got a pandemic, we have civil unrest, government upheaval, and then the latest thing is this insurrection, this domestic terrorism. But in the midst of all of this, what I see is how the spirit of love is rising to meet this occasion. People are becoming more active in helping their families, their neighbors, and it's causing us to be more interactive with each other's, involved in each other's lives, caring about one another. There is a level of love being expressed that is surpassing where we were before. In fact, it's like a reawakening to what is most important, and knowing that relationships are on the top of that list. We have to care for one another. And Christians, those who profess to know the Lord, I find that too often we have been too focused on issues that support what we believe, when really, all we needed is love. God is love. The law cannot do this. Policies cannot do this. The only thing that will really change this world is love. Let me read this verse from Romans 13, verses 8 through 13. It's verses 8 through 10. Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For whoever loves others has fulfilled the law. The commandments: you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and whatever other command there may be, are all summed up in this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Now, if we can hold on to this and not be distracted, be single, have a single eye when it comes to love and the significance of love in the world, how God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, changed everything in the world that we see today. Let us continue to move this love forward and allow it to embrace everything that we do and how we greet people, how we touch others when we come into contact with them. But I'm going to stop right there before I start teaching, because today I am just going to re-air one of the message from that 2017 podcast series, Elevation in Love. Be blessed. Think about how you can love someone today. God bless. Today's message is entitled Elevation in Love. But before we jump into that title, I'd like to review, just take a few minutes to review last week's broadcast. In that broadcast, we addressed the theme for declaring the finished work for 2017. And as I indicated last week, when I am weak, he is strong is actually a word that is pointing in a direction or guiding us in a direction in 2017. God is saying that he wants us to operate more in this place of dependence in him, because it is actually in our weakness that his power is made perfect. A lot of times we want to be this confident, independent person, but who we truly are is birthed out of the expression of living and moving and having our being in the Father, in Jesus Christ, in the Holy Spirit. Amen. So the scripture that this theme was derived from is 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. But he, and that he is the Lord speaking, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. This is the Lord speaking to the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul had come asking, requesting three times to have this thorn in his flesh removed. Go back and read that chapter chapter 12, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, to give you the fullness of that story. But today I'm just going, in my review, I'm just going to focus on this final word. But he said to me, the Lord said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. This word applies to us. His grace is sufficient. His grace, his favor, his loving kindness, his merciful kindness. His grace that exerts this holy influence upon our souls and turns us toward Christ. It's by grace that we have been saved, not of our own doing, not of our own works. None of us can boast of this. By grace we have been saved. This grace is the power that keeps us, it strengthens us, it increases us in our Christian faith, in our knowledge and affection, and in the exercise of Christian virtues. This grace is sufficient. That word sufficient, meaning possessed of unfailing strength, strong, it suffices. It is enough against any danger. It raises up, elevates, lifts up, carries off, removes. This is God's grace. And his power being made perfect in us. This perfection is talking about to carry through to completion, completely. To accomplish, finish, bring to an end. Add what is yet wanting or lacking in order to render a thing full. Bring it to its fullness. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. And our weakness, our lack of strength, or our infirmity, because if it's of the body, it can be a frailty, a feebleness of our health and sickness that attacks our bodies. Or this weakness could be of the soul, our lack of mental strength and capacity to understand what's going on, what is happening in my life, being overwhelmed, difficulty bearing a trial or a trouble, or even having the restraint to resist corrupt or evil desires. His grace is sufficient, and his power is made perfect in our weakness. We are going to build on this through various topics and guests that will be on this broadcast in 2017. We are positioning ourselves to receive what the Lord is outpouring in this season, in 2017. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Elevation in love. And this love that I'm talking about is divine love, God's love, agape. Let's look at the word elevate, because we're going to receive an elevation in love. Elevate means to lift up, increase the level, make higher, transport. And let's look at transport here. Transport means to carry from one place to another. God is about to carry us from one place to another. And it's a lifting up. And it's an increase. And it is taking us higher. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. So I'm going to read a couple of love scriptures about God's love. Then I'm going to share what the Lord spoke to me on New Year's Eve as I got before him and quieted myself on New Year's Eve to hear. And this elevation in love is one of the things that he spoke. There are some other things, but today I'm just going to address this. And then we're going to do some prayer and a little bit of worship. Glory to God to add to it. I mean, prayer and worship is just, it's important to us, not so much God. It is important to us because it is the exercising of prayer, communicating with God and worshiping him and exalting him, that it gets us into a perspective and a mindset. It moves us into the mind of Christ. So it's important to us, not to God. So when we do these things, glory to God, God is blessed by them. He is blessed when we do these things, when we talk and communicate with him, and when we worship him. He loves it, but he doesn't need it. But it certainly makes his heart feel delighted when we do these things. Amen. He's a loving and caring father. Let's turn to John 13, and I am going to start reading in verse 34. We're just going to read two verses here, verses 34 and 35. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Interesting. This is Jesus speaking. He is, in terms of time, he's getting close to the time of crucifixion. And these are some of the last words that he's leaving the disciples. And they're here for us in this present day. He's saying it's by our love for one another that all people will know that we are his disciples. We may think that because I behave a certain way, because I go to church, because I do good works, then, you know, people will see that I am a disciple of Christ. But Jesus is saying that if you love your brother as I have loved you, this is what will indicate to people that you are my disciples. Let's go to 1 John chapter 4. I'm going to start in verse 15. We're going to read a few more scriptures here. We're going to read from 15 to verse 24. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. Now we know that this confession has to come from our heart. Coming from our mind is not enough. because you'll walk away and forget. But it's when this confession is coming out of your heart, that's a much deeper place than your mind. And when we confess him, that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in us and we abide in him. And abide means that we remain in him. We stay in him. Now, this is the new position that we have, that we're in him. The issue that we run into is remembering our position. Because if we don't remember that where we are, the position that we are in, then we will act like we're not there. We'll act like wherever we are, if we're in our flesh, in our emotions, and, you know, in our anger, in our feeling, whatever it is, if that is where we are abiding in that moment, then that is what we're going to express. But when we remember that God abides in us and we abide in him, we respond out of that position. Verse 16. So we have come to know and to believe that the love that God has for us. This verse is telling us that we must know and believe in this love that God has for us. We can't just know about it, but we've got to believe this love, this divine love for us, God's love, our Father's love for us. It's important. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. Let me read that again. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. Now, you can read this at first and go, oh my goodness. So, when I'm not being loving, does that mean I'm not abiding in God? That's not what it's saying. It says, if you stay in that position, in God's love, stay in that place of knowing and believing the love that he has for you, he is abiding in you. He's there. He's there. He's there. The abiding is remembering the love that he has for you. And as I continue to read the scripture, you'll see why it's important that we know and believe in this love that he has for us. Verse 17 says, by this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment, because as he is, also are we in this world. 18 says, there is no fear in love. That's why we can have confidence in the day of judgment. So if we stay in this place of love, knowing and believing the love that God has for us, it goes on to say in verse 18, but perfect love casts out fear. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. And why do we fear? Okay, let's go on. For fear has to do with punishment. For fear has to do with punishment. And whoever fears has not been perfected in love. What love is this? The love that God has for us. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. Come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. There is no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear. Fear has to do with punishment. So if you fear, it's an indication of not being perfected in this love that he has for you. 19, verse 19. We love because he first loved us. So this takes us back up to the scriptures I was reading in John 13:34, where he says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. So this verse is saying here in 1 John, we love because he first loved us. So we've got to come and to know and believe the love that God has for us and abide in this love that he has for us. Because his love is perfect, it'll cast out fear. There'll be no fear of punishment. Hallelujah. So in our receiving his love, we love. The more love we receive from him, the more we love. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So it is him doing this in us. Verse 20 says, if anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar, for he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. In order for us to love God, we have to first receive his love for us. We have to come to know and believe the love that God has for us. God is love. And whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. And this love is perfected in us. And because it's perfected in us, we are able to not only love God, who we cannot see, but we can love the brother that we can see. This is all God's doing. And it's by faith. It's all by faith. By faith, by believing, knowing and believing the love that God has for me, for you. Glory to God. Glory to God. So on New Year's Eve, as I was before the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. I wrote down, the first thing I got was an elevation in love, and I wrote that down. And as I waited, God began to speak more that there would be an outpouring in this season in 2017 on his children. And what would happen is, one of the things that's going to happen is an increased capacity to demonstrate his love without effort. Without effort. We're so used to working at everything because we're so used to working out of our own strength. Well, he is saying to us in this season, we will no longer have to do or say the right thing because in our minds we know that it's the right things to do because we've read it in the scriptures and the scripture is telling us this is the right thing to do. But it shall be in our hearts and it shall be as easy as breathing. Remember in the scripture, I believe it's Jeremiah, when he says that he will put his spirit inside of us and take out the stony heart and give us a heart of flesh, and that he would write his words upon our hearts, and that we would just do them because it's in us to do it. It's in us. It's in our hearts. You know, man looks at the outer. God looks at the heart. Now, we can all go around and do all the things, all the actions that indicate that we are loving, but that is not what God is looking at if your heart is not in it. And that's not to say that you shouldn't do the right thing because you don't feel it. No, you do the right thing even if you don't feel it, because as you continue to walk in this journey of faith, God is going to fill you with the power that enables you to walk in all that he has commanded you to do in the scriptures. But he's saying now that this is a season where I am outpouring my spirit of love in such a degree. Amen. And I think that we are now in a time that we've had to go through some things. All of us have had to go through some trials and some tribulations and disappointments and hurts and losses to get to this place that we understand that I cannot live this life without him. I mean, truly, I cannot. I cannot live this faith without him doing this in me. So we are in a position now to receive this outpouring of divine love that he's pouring out on us. So that for us to love will be easy. As I said, as easy as breathing. But the key is to wait for God. To wait for God for this infilling. Waiting on God is very, it's hard for us because we always want to step out. Once we get the knowledge, we want to step out and perform it as opposed to waiting on God to do the very word that he has spoken to us in our lives. So he has spoken that he's going to pour out this divine love. Fill your hearts with it, making it easy for you to love the unlovely, to love your enemies, But wait for it. Wait. Tarry. Wait for this. This is his promise in this season. You will no longer have to pretend or struggle. So rest and know it's coming. Avoid condemnation. The enemy accuses. He is the accuser, not God, the enemy. So this is a time to learn to wait on God, trusting in him fulfilling the words that he is speaking in this season. Do not be impatient. Do not be impatient. Let patience have its, that word again, perfect. It's perfect work, bringing it into full maturation, into its fullness and into completeness. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I am going to now read the famous chapter the chapter of love that we all know so well. Glory to God. We know it because we've heard it so many times, but do we know it? Is it down in our hearts? And we believe that this love is possible because with God, all things are possible. Okay, let us read. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Amen. The way of love. Hallelujah. Glory to God. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, this agape love, God's love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecy, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. Further down in the scripture, it says love never fails. It never fails. It never fails. So when you read the scripture again, read this, knowing that this is possible. With God, all things are possible. Don't say to yourself, this is too hard. How can I be expected? I'm just a man. No, you are not just a man. You are a child of God. You are a Christ-like one. The very Spirit of God lives on the inside of you. So as you read this chapter again by faith, say, Lord, I receive this. I receive this work that you are doing in me. You are turning this heart of stone into a heart of flesh. It is the work of your Spirit in my life. I am patient. I am kind. I do not envy. I don't boast. I'm not arrogant. I'm not rude. I don't insist on my own way. I am not irritable or resentful. I rejoice, not at wrongdoing, but I rejoice with the truth. I bear all things, and I believe all things, and I hope all things, and endure all things. Because your love never ends in me. It's a continual river flowing through me, flowing down from the fountains of heaven. These rivers just flowing down. This is your love. This is your promise to me. The selfishness that we encounter in our lives, that's not who you are. It's not who I am. It's just a residue of the thinking of the old man. Old ways of doing things and old ways of thinking. But we are a new creation. And in this season, our discernment will heighten even concerning our own lives. You know, a lot of times we think about discerning evil and good in other people, but we're going to discern evil and good in our own lives. And when we see those thoughts, those old man thoughts creeping up, it's going to be easy to recognize them and correct them and replace them with a divine thought, a thought from God. And we will do all of this without shame, without condemnation, without judgment. We're going to do it in the liberty that we have in Christ. And this mindset will move us quickly in the process. Hallelujah. The renewing of our minds will become faster and faster and faster and faster. Hallelujah. Say amen and amen. Hallelujah to these words that God is speaking over our lives. Hallelujah. Thank you for joining me today for another hour of Declaring the Finished Work. This is your host, Pat Randall. Tomorrow night, we've got Friday Night Joy with Pastor Ray Rose at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Amen. So be blessed. Walk in love. Know that you are perfectly loved by the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That you are never alone. That you are never separated. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. And that you are love because you are created in the image of your Father. And He is love. I love you. God bless you. Until next week.
Listening to When Christians Speak Online Talk Radio, broadcasting out of the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. Today's voice crying out in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. When Christians Speak is dedicated to lifting up the name of Christ Jesus and spreading the good news.